So it's a confusion, I think. Part one way of looking at this scenario is that it's a confusion between absolute and relative truth. It's an attempt to live our lives from a level of absolute truth and a rejection of the level of relative truth that we find in our experience. It's the poison snake of the Dhammapada being grasped wrongly. It turns and lays in its fangs, its poisoned fangs. So obviously, this closing our eyes to what we are, it's not Buddhism. It's a distortion. It's something else. And what I'm describing is a spiritual materialism, or a form of spiritual materialism. So when I think of spiritual materialism, I saw a clip of this horrendous TV show of people, documentary show, people who didn't like the look, the way they looked, and it followed them through plastic surgery. So you had these sort of ugly before shot, and then you've got this not so ugly but a bit scary after shot. Yeah? And it's like, not happy with how they look, they swapped it for something else. And spiritual materialism is the same thing. It's a similarly crude literalism and distortion of self-transformation, where one attempts to reject an unhappy or unacceptable experience and swap it for something else. And instead of calling it denial, we call it the Dharma, perhaps. So another way of looking at this is spiritual materialism is based on, you know, how do you understand growth? Spiritual materialism is based on a crude understanding of growth. It thrives on ideas of growth which are simplistically developmental, evolutionary, seeing life as a natural process of increase and maturation. So Dharma practice based on this simplistic conception of development, growth. There's no place for stuckness, there's no place for limitation or falling apart, confusion, despair, because these states are seen as a setback to a simplistic conception of growth. They're seen as a setback and therefore are viewed negatively and rejected or denied. Whereas other growthful states, positive states, skillful states, are acknowledged and encouraged. And again, we split. So my experience of growth has been quite different to that. Eventually, I've cottoned on to what growth means, I think, in my experience. You know, I tried to make unpleasant experiences go away for a long time through practice, but they always came back. They're like friends now, but they always used to come back. I didn't think they were friends before. You know, like I go home to see my parents, and you know, I walk in the door, and you know, within half an hour, my dad said something, and I'm feeling like I did when I was 10, when I was 15, when I was 20, when I was 25. Same experience, very predictable, very familiar. And yet there's still a change, there's still a growth. But this has been a growth in awareness and an increasing ability to discriminate my experience in a way that gives me choice and I can respond differently. It's not a growing out of my disturbances so that I no longer experience them, but it's a learning to recognise them and free myself from acting out. And then there's acceptance, the much debated and misunderstood word acceptance. There's this view that if you accept yourself, you'll be accepting unskillfulness. Maybe. I heard recently an order member saying, secondhand, I heard a report that an order member said, the basis of the spiritual life is realizing that we are fundamentally unacceptable. I didn't ask him what he meant by that, but no doubt it comes from Bhante, who suggests, let us accept what is skillful in ourselves, but let us reject what is unskillful. So, again, if you take that literally, I can see that leading to some problems. I can see it's leading to a practice that actively furthers a splitting of experience, where the rejecting of what is unskillful becomes just another version of closing one's eyes to what one is. So denying that I am angry will mean that I am unable to dwell in the gap between anger and aggression. And if I do that, I'm short-circuiting any attempt to leave the wheel and journey along the spiral. And in doing that, I'm mistaking having a particular content of experience, i.e. anger, with acting out that content, i.e. aggression. I mean, it's a simple, basic dharma. But it's only the latter that's unskillful. It's aggression that's unskillful. Feeling angry is not unskillful. So the latter is an unskillfulness. And until then, the practice is to dwell in the gap between the feeling and the desire, facing our feeling with the acceptance and understanding that then allows us to choose whether to indulge in that feeling or not. But there is nothing unskillful about our feelings. They are given a resultant karma. Feelings are raw data for practice. Denial and non-acceptance are synonymous with a lack of awareness. If we want to become aware of our feelings, we need to be accepting of them. They are a fact. What we then do with this awareness is the ethical issue rather than the other way around, i.e. seeing ethics as the absence or removal of troubling experiences so that we then don't act unskillfully. So spiritual experience and ethical practice, seems to me, it's not about feeling. It's not about feeling good or bad. Because if it was, where all the talk about change, impermanence, insubstantiality? If it was about feeling a particular way, where all the talk of fixed self-view and breaking the fetters? If it was about feeling a particular way, how could we not then form an identification around feeling that way and split off from other aspects of our experience? All aspects of our experience are just as real or empty and as close to reality as any other. So you face what is. The fear of facing what is that these unruly, troubling, seemingly worldly states will take us over. They'll swamp us, drag us down and away from our hard-won spirituality. And well, they might, and they do. But there's a place for that. You need to be overwhelmed. It's a necessary stage to go through before awareness can arise and perspective comes. There's always a necessary contraction in awareness when new material arises in one's being. It can be overwhelming. But to avoid this contraction in awareness, to split off from these troubling experiences, is to miss out on the eventual expansion in awareness. And this is the value in stirring up the mud from the bottom of our pond. You need to stir up the mud from the bottom of the pond so that you can see it, and then bring it back into awareness.